You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday, hump day. We play the camel. Well, that also means, though, that at 4 o'clock we go to something we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who have been doing talk radio longer than me. We ping each other with questions, and we just kind of see where the chips fall. So let me just go ahead and call the roll for the council. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN out of Huntsville, Cumulus Broadcasting, program director Guy, morning show Guy, Dale Jackson, also writes for Yellowhammer. Dale, are you here?
Oh!
Outstanding. Stand by. Also, oh, by the way, from FM Talk 106.5, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show in the Mornings, and also the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I'm present.
You are indeed. And we're glad of it. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Butters, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, a quorum being had. I'm going to go ahead and ask the first question this time. Senate District 9, Alabama State Senate District 9, special election held yesterday to replace Clay Schofield, who left the Senate to go work for the BCA. We had really a three-party race, but it was really between two current representatives, Wes Kitchens, Brock Colvin. Wes Kitchens was endorsed by the teachers' union and then won the election. So I question you this, gentlemen. Is the AEA back in power? That's my question for you. Dale, you first.
I don't know if back in power is the right way to say it, but they definitely got a win. I mean, so they give them a victory there. That's one more for them in the Senate, so they should be happy. But, I mean, I think the message is worth more than the win, right? We can drag Republicans over the finish line if we want to. I mean, it was a blowout, 52-38-9, whatever. Maybe there's not a runoff, or maybe there is a runoff if the AEA is not involved. Doesn't matter. They get to claim a victory, and they have one more friendly voice in the Senate than they had before. And the Senate is, they need to have a supermajority in order to get some of the stuff they want done on school choice, and that seems harder now.
Jeff, your thoughts?
I don't think I think a lot of Republicans are a little misguided on the AEA right now, that the AEA is not the campaign kryptonite that it used to be for Republicans. You used to could associate a Republican with the AEA, and maybe you were doing some real damage there. I just think people shrug it off now. Maybe they've always shrugged it off, and this was just something that we kind of invented in our heads in our bubble here. But I thought they were trying, the Colvin guys maybe tried a little bit to make that an issue, and it just didn't really do anything.
Well, so did it not do anything because Colvin didn't have the money to put into it, or did it not do anything because it wasn't a thing? That's go back to that real quick.
Well, no, I think they tried to fly under the radar. They did. They micro-targeted teachers. It's pretty clear that was what was underway there. And, you know, like, oh, look who's taking money from the special interest here. It's this Kitchens guy, and I think the electorate was kind of like, so what?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's been a softening, I don't know what to say overall to the AEA, but partly because, you know the deal, when they've not been able to beat you up for the last few years, they feel less threatening. And then when they come back in, you're like, well, it's just the AEA. Well, I think if this had been, you know, 2012, 2013, 2014 even, this would have been the antithetical to a good race for Wes Kitchens. Does it mean I like it? No. I mean, I'm personally of the mind that one of the most evil organizations in this state that has done more harm than anybody else's organization is going to be the AEA. Are they fully back in power? I don't think so. I think they had an opportunistic opportunity. I wonder, let me ask you this real quick, guys, before we go to the next question. Was Stacey George a spoiler for Brock Colvin, or was it going to be Wes Kitchens' race anyway?
I mean, I don't think Stacey George, really plays that much of a factor. And if you get over 52, you get over 52, right?
That's my question. Would it have changed the dynamics of the race at all, Jeff?
No, not at all. Okay. Maybe he took away from him from more right-leaning conservatives that small percentage, but that's why there's no runoff. There's no doubt Kitchens still would have won.
I wait to see how it'll play in a major general, because this is a special election. If they micro-targeted a pretty good population, which teachers are, and they actually got some traction on that, then the AEA had a leg up, because strange things happen in a special election, and this may be that. Then again, I hope it doesn't portend bad things. Dale Jackson, take the next question.
All right. So, this question may not be too serious of a question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Kamala Harris has her own scent. What does Joe Biden smell like?
She has her own scent?
Yeah, you didn't hear the story?
No.
She apparently has like a signature scent that they use at different events, and she got upset because the senator from California wanted to use some version of that scent, and she got all upset about it, apparently. So,
is that so the dogs can track her better? What is happening here?
I don't know. I have no idea. But my question is, what do you think Joe Biden smells like?
I don't know. Something like old underwear and pudding. I don't know. What a strange question, Dale. What do I think Joe Biden? I think he's too busy smelling little kids' hair to have.
You know, I figured
scent.
You were going
to
dismiss that question out of hand, so I had a second one ready to go. So here's the second one: is Michelle Obama really waiting in the wings? I'm hearing more and more of this, but you hear this kind of crazy stuff all the time about Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama. Is she really waiting in the wings, and what does she smell like?
Yeah, okay. There's a fascination with smells today, but is she waiting in the wings? I don't know, and I say that because I do think she's trying to be a kingmaker. I do think she's trying to be an influencer. There's that, absolutely. There's no other reason for her to do some of what she's doing without an intent to be an influencer. Whether she ever intends to run or not, I don't know. Who knows? Hillary did. Maybe that's the model. Jeff?
Is Michelle Obama waiting in the wings? No, I don't think so. And she's too. She doesn't seem as ambitious as Hillary, and maybe she could raise some money, but I don't think she. I mean, Hillary was just like driven.
Yeah.
Like it was like the Holy Sacrament or something. And I don't see that same kind of fire from Michelle Obama.
I don't either. I think Michelle Obama also knows she could watch what happens to the Trump family and to the Clinton family and wonder why she would ever want to leave her luxury surroundings to go and put herself through that. And then, oh, by the way, you know, knowing full well that they all become targets again. I don't think so. And by the way, just full credit to Butters here in the studio, who wrote me a note and says the Secretary of Defense needs his own scent so they can keep track of him.
There you go.
Hey, guys, I'm gonna interrupt this because Nick Saban just announced he's retiring.
What?
That was going to be my next question. Is that really happening? Apparently it is.
Yeah, it's from several sources now. So Saban,
what's he smell like?
Out. Shut up, Dale. Nick Saban.
Well, I tell you what, they're partying down on the plains right now. There's that.
They're partying everywhere.
Well, except for the Strip downtown, yeah.
So Saban is retiring. Well, then that brings me to another point. And, Jeff, I'm going to use your breaking news as your storyline to take a thread with. There's allegedly going to be an announcement by Chris Christie any minute now suspending his campaign. So there's two major. Well, I'll take it back. There's one major announcement.
Don't conflate Saban retiring with Chris Christie's failed presidential run. What is wrong with you?
Does Chris Christie smell like?
There's a question we all want to know, like tacos or something. I don't know. This is quickly devolving. Jeff, did you have a real question, or are you just going to go ahead and harangue us on Nick Saban?
You gotta say something about Saban retiring, okay? I just like there's nothing that is going to measure up to that in Alabama right now.
Well, you and I are both Auburn fans.
Yeah, no, I was
going to
ask
yes.
if that was real. I was going to ask if that was real because people had I seen that online. I just didn't know if that was a real thing, but apparently it is. Okay, wow. I thought he was. Didn't he say like 3 days ago that people only ask him that because he's old and he's not going anywhere, and now he's leaving?
What? I look at it and think, why didn't he retire 3 years ago? You know, take the national championship and go to the House.
$8 million a year, $10 million a year, and the fact that he's awesome.
Look how many people got this wrong, though. Oh, Paul Feinbaum. Oh, all these guys. Yeah, Saban's not going to go out with a loss to Michigan or what. Well, guess what? You don't have your finger on the pulse. Here's a question. Who's the next coach down there?
The next coach down there? You looking, I don't know, is wow. Coming in from Clemson. What am I trying to say?
Dabo.
Yeah. Not Lane Kiffin. No, I don't think Lane Kiffin comes in.
I like the Kirby Smart play there.
Smart would be a smart play, but I don't know if Kirby's going to leave Georgia right now. I think he's building an empire.
There's a lot of talk about him going to Atlanta.
When Auburn's looking for a coach, they tried to bring Vince Dooley to Auburn in the early '80s, and he did not go to Auburn, even though Auburn was his alma mater.
I heard Gene Chizik was looking at Alabama.
I bet he is. So am I.
All right, fellas, I'm calling that for round one. We got to take it to a break right now. We'll do that. We're right here in the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from 1819 News and FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, and Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville and Yellowhammer, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville. And also with Yellowhammer News. And I'm going to get the next question round two. All right, here's the deal, fellas. Vivek Ramaswamy. I think one of my favorite moments of this campaign, even though I don't think he is going to be the guy, he just destroyed a liberal reporter trying to ding him on something to do with white supremacy, and just destroyed the person, but destroyed them with class, I felt like. And so I don't know if anybody's more loquacious than that guy. That guy can put out words like nobody's business. I mean, but why don't more – here's my question for you. Why don't more candidates take it to the press as opposed to kowtowing to them and trying to answer their questions? Jeff, you first.
Two reasons. I think the first reason is they don't have that ability. Not saying they're dumb people, but they're just not as quick-witted as Ramaswamy seems to be. And I probably haven't really thought much about, how do I counter the press, you know? But and then the second one is I just think everything's so consultant to death, and they say, yeah, you don't want to look that way, and they overthink these things where – I think if you try to win a Republican primary, that's a good look. But then again, Ramaswamy's what? He's the lowest of the remaining candidates, so maybe there's something to do that.
Yeah, he might pick up a 1% from Christie dropping out here in the next 5 minutes. But
wait a minute, a second ago, Christie was Nick Saban. Now all of a sudden, Christie only has one thing. Oh,
well, he's got a funny scent, so there's that.
Please, Phil, please. Be serious.
What are you thinking? Ramaswamy, tearing down the press. Why don't more candidates do it? Dale Jackson, your thoughts?
I don't know. It's one of the great things about Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, too. Their ability to take on the press, fight them, punch them repeatedly, and come out on the other side pretty well off. I like it when Ramaswamy does it. I like it when DeSantis does it. I like it when Trump does it. They're all very good at this, and there's probably a lesson there in this for Republican candidates. You do not have to play their stupid little game. Punch them right in the mouth, metaphorically, of course, and then, you know, literally.
And then literally, like after the campaign's over.
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's also a confidence issue here. You got to be able to look someone in the eye and say what's on your mind, whether it's on their mind or not. And that that only comes through practice, and it comes through having some measure of self-confidence. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I think Trump does it well. I think DeSantis does it well, to your point, Dale, but I think Ramaswamy still does it better than any of them. I mean, best I've seen since back in the days when you would see Newt Gingrich running, and he would do that to him. Next question, I think, goes to Dale.
Jeff Poor's best friend, Oliver Darcy, at CNN, threw a hissy fit the other day, demanding that Disney stop Aaron Rodgers from smearing the good name of Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel, of course, attacked Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers attacked him back. And now they have kicked Aaron Rodgers off Pat McAfee's show. What in the world's going on here? Let these guys go at it in public, have an arena of ideas, beat each other up. Why is the left so unable and unwilling to engage in back and forths over the issues of the day? They have to shut people down. And why did Jeff become so close to Oliver Darcy? What's that about?
Well, before Jeff chimes in on your accusations of closeness, I think part of it is there's a lack of humor on the left. They have lost their sense of humor. When trigger words were allowed to be a thing, comedy went out the door. And when words can hurt me actually became a mantra for them, then next thing you know, don't use my wrong pronouns. I mean, if you can't even use the right pronoun with somebody without causing great offense, then what in God's name are they ever going to do when Aaron Rodgers actually speaks his mind and says, go get your shots or whatever else he comes up with, Jeff?
No idea what you're talking about on the Oliver Darcy accusation here, but I'll say this. I don't know that it's necessarily a cultural thing with ESPN. They are left and they are liberal and they are goofballs, but corporate America holds these guys hostage in sports. Look at how left the sports world has gone in the last, 10, 15 years. And I think they're afraid of losing advertisers. It's because, especially, ESPN, that's cash poor right now. They're afraid that's going to cost some advertisers. They have dumped a ton of money into that McAfee program. That's how they have Aaron Rodgers and Saban on every week. So I just think they cut ties. It has probably a lot more to do with these goofball left wingers on Madison Avenue to make advertising decisions than it does anything in the culture of ESPN.
I actually heard they're bringing Dylan Mulvaney in to replace Aaron Rodgers, because
he was on CNN,
because he has his personal scent. Did you call Dylan Mulvaney a she just now?
All
Dale?
Right. I was talking about Caitlin Collins, Jeff's other good friend.
Jeff, you got about less than a minute, man. What's your question? You got a quick one?
They're trying to unionize Mercedes-Benz down in Vance. That's a big deal. The governor's already out swinging on it. This is going to be fun to watch. But what would unionization mean to Alabama's auto industry?
Well, we're a right-to-work state, so I guarantee you the union busters are already being hired. But I would say that that's going to have a dramatic impact if basically the landmark cases that we've got for bringing automotive to the state is Mercedes. And if it goes union, then they're going to be cheering in Detroit. What do we got, Dale?
Yeah, one of the hooks is that it's a right-to-work state. That's why they're coming here. You take that away, and you've got yourself a bit of a different problem. And that's pretty unfortunate. I think this will resolve itself pretty cleanly in favor of no unionization.
I would tend to agree. If they can't even unionize all the Starbucks, I mean, my gosh.
Well, up the road, guys, Amazon tried it, maybe a 20-minute drive.
Oh, it was a goat rodeo.
Amazon got beat twice.
Yeah, it was a goat rodeo. They couldn't even figure out where the boxes were. All right, fellas, appreciate you both. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and, oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Dale Jackson up in WVNN in Huntsville, Dale Jackson's show, and, oh, by the way, with Yellowhammer News, and just me. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back with what's going on with Nick Saban. I think we have a mini-dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.